This is the end of the last session of the 21st of March 2017 at the DIS. And at the last session, we had one of the most interesting presentations about something called design thinking. Now, if we think about design, we have in mind all these famous little nice ideas about plundering images of new ways of behavior and new ways of getting people to buy. But what you're doing is something totally different. Just give me your name and tell me a little about the background, what you're really here for.
Hi, my name is Christian Hanke. I am one of the co-owners of Eden Spiekermann, a design agency with a little bit of 100 people. We work from Berlin, Amsterdam, Los Angeles, and so forth. I work as a creative director, and my focus is working in the content industry, as I say, in a bigger term. And this is why I'm here. I work for journalists as well as brands to help them build stages and tools for great content.
When did you pitch the first time a content owner for this kind of topic and why?
Actually, it was not something of a pitch, but more of an occasion which came to me. I think it was 2011 or so when we worked for Bosch and Robert Bosch. They wanted to start an internal magazine for 70,000 of their people. And it was for a department a business unit which spanned across 12 different countries. And so what they wanted to do was forming a new editorial team to communicate better with their 70,000 people across those 12 different countries. And so what we had to do was to come up with something more than just decorating content, but really thinking about how should the content be structured, how should the content be built, and what are the things people want to know, and how do they want to be reached? And was for me something of a wake-up call where we started to really think about what are new methods, what are new ways and tools to gather insights in a different way. For example, they had three big plants in India where a lot of people worked for them, and they said, like, how could we reach them? And so we would find out that they would have own buses which drove 12,000 people a day to their factory and back. And so what we came up with was that the magazine would not only exist in print and online, but also would be audio, and so that the driver could play some of the articles audio in the bus while people would commute to their work. And that was something of an interesting way where we used a technique which we call design thinking to really find out how the day of a worker would be structured. When does he wake up? What does he do? Where are opportunities where we can present him content in a different way, that it's not obtrusive, that it is not getting in his way, but in a moment when he is open to that and that he would be able to do that. And this is where this whole thing came along. And parallel to that, there's a whole discipline of design thinking which eroded at the end of the 80s. And one of our partners, Pierre Betton, he was starting to work 15 years ago with this method and started also wrote a curriculum for an innovation course at a university towards that. And so this whole method came to Europe, I think, in the late 80s, and then really integrated into the design education, and was then also part of my design education as a designer. And this is why I came up on this occasion to help reach employees for Bosch the new way of doing an editorial offering.
So the company you are in is evolving as much as the projects you are going to evolve with your clients, right?
Definitely. So for us, it's learning really as part of our DNA. We love to be out of our comfort zone, and we love to really learn new things. I think it's also partly because of our personalities, but also because of our trade. Designers hate to do the same thing over and over again. So each time we try to learn something new, every project we do has a learning goal, has something to, what do we want to learn in this project? What do we learn in this project? Because it also helps us as an agency to find great talent, because people nowadays don't go to agencies because they say they want to work for Mercedes. They just say they want to become better in what they are and they want to learn. And this is something of a new recruitment profile which we had to adapt to, and which is actually really fitting to me and myself, because my motivation to get up in the morning is also to become better in what I am and to learn something new, to invent something, to change something. And so there are a lot of things which come together which then formed this new discipline and which fueled it, really. And I think it comes straight out of design education, because design education is all about solving problems and finding out what the real problem is and then solving it in a creative way and in a surprising way. So it's a lot about empathy when it's done right. Of course, there's also design which just has to be decoration, but the times, especially when it comes to type and typography, it's really about understanding how people read, how people interact with things. Then when it comes to interaction design, which is then a discipline which wrote it at the basically the same time, it was even more about users and how they behave, because we could first time in history measure interactions of people, and we had to invent new interactions of people. So this whole thing of being measurable but also having to invent new ways of interacting with things, I think, fooled this whole discipline and brought it to the next level, to say, like, okay, this whole method set of finding out what people need, thinking from their needs into solutions rather than just proposing something, because we're A, measurable, and B, we can replicate things better, played in, so that this whole movement of design thinking then came to life.
During the last 2 days, technology was always being mentioned as a game changer for this industry. And the end of these 2 days, you show up and say, no, the real game changers, that's us.
Definitely. I think we can talk about technology on and over. I think it's not interesting. It's just not interesting. Of course, we are working at the forefront of new technologies and trying out new things every time, of course. But that's a given. That's a hygienic factor. It's not a competitive advantage anymore. For me, it's really about what we can find out. The biggest problem, if I think about the news industries, is not getting the right technology. It's being attractive enough to hire the right talent. I think this is the biggest front news companies are now facing, to be able and attractive enough to the right people which they want to recruit, because they desperately need them. And of course, then technology comes into place and helps them and is an enabler. But technology is never a purpose in itself and is never the interesting part on its own. It just gives the opportunity to do something. But having the right people in your organization who are willing to make use of that technology and who are willing to learn new things and explore new things and find out about new things, that is a real game changer. And changing a culture into something of an innovation culture, or into something of an exploratory culture. This is the whole big game thing. And then we can, of course, solve the problems, because technology is then easy to adopt or to buy or even development will substitute its development. So one day development will be done by machines. But I think the biggest problem is really getting the right people with the critical minds, with the innovative minds, with the tool set and the courage and the mindset to say, like, I think in autonomy, I think in mastery, I think in purpose. And those are the three things I pursue in my professional life. And this is why I use the latest technology. This is why I use the latest insights. This is why I want to innovate my surrounding in my newsroom.
What I learned from your words is maybe not outspoken, so I was trying to say it in my way. Let's say the more the digitization is invading our industry and our minds, the more the need is for tools and for creative processes like design thinking. Are they intertwined?
Definitely. So I think design thinking is one great way. It's also not the holy grail, but it's one great way of making use of technology and talent, because I think that's really intertwined, technology and talent. So if you invite, for example, if you have a problem to solve, for example, I don't know, a certain digital product fails, audience hates it. How can you solve it? You can solve it by inviting different people from different perspective, developers, user testers, editors, strategists, journalists. Bring them together and together get a perspective. What are the needs of our users and how can we solve them? And then we think about a technology and a technical solution or a framework or a different tool or so. But really bringing them into one room, brightening up them with insights about their audience and about their needs, and then making them solve this problem based on the insights about the audience and the technology at hand. I think this is the scenario of the future. And then they can solve that, and then they can iterate towards a better solution. And if I am allowed to make a point on the first talk of this whole conference, the president of Quartz, when he said, "Big decisions we make with our guts, small decisions we make with A/B testing or with data." I think this really brings it to the point to say, like, okay, we still have to follow our intuition on the big things, on to say, like, okay, we move in this direction, or we move in that field, or we have to find a new way of doing that. But then we are towards the solution. We can then rely on data. And that's the same with technology. I think the big moves, decisions have to still be made with a gut feeling and a good set of knowledge, right? This is the big difference, big set of knowledge before. And then we make an informed decision, and then we can talk about the technology. And this is the opposite of the old world. When I did my first relaunch of a magazine, there was a head of magazines at this publishing house, and he said, like, you know, if we make a good cover, we make it out of our gut. And then I asked, like, how do you measure success? And he said, like, twice a year. And I thought, like, twice a year measuring success? Well, good night. This is directly, because this was the old world where some people said, like, out of my gut, I think this cover is great. But there are some, as we say, editorial intention or gut feeling in a right direction. But then you have to really rely on informed decisions.
With this statement, you opened a totally new horizon for the next upcoming events in the next years. So we just should stop there, because otherwise we're going to be too long for our listeners. But maybe I should ask you one question, which is a little tricky. Just imagine the question I haven't asked, but you would have liked to answer, and answer it.
I think it was already answered. The question I wanted to answer was about what is the biggest challenge for news. And I think it's recruiting. And this should be my final statement, to say, like, guys, create a culture where the most attractive talent will find a home, because otherwise you will not win the digital battle.
Thank you very much for this end of the show.
Sure. Thank you.